Grace and peace to you, my brothers and sisters, in our Lord Jesus Christ and in God, who is our Father and our Mother. This week has been heavy, and many times during this week, I have felt that I am simply out of words. There are no words to express the horror and grief of what we have seen playing out in our nation throughout the spring, but especially this past week in Minneapolis. Fortunately for me, Bishop Jim Gonia shared these words on Facebook and gave me a place to start. Jim wrote, "On this Pentecost Sunday, as we bear witness to the continued trauma experienced by communities of color in our nation, and as we acknowledge the burden of injustice borne by vulnerable neighbors around our world, may we be empowered as Christ's church to become agents of the Spirit's faithful action, that all may experience the fullness of life that God intends. Let the words of this hymn serve as a guide on our journey. God of tempest, God of whirlwind, as on Pentecost descend, drive us out from sheltered comfort, past these walls your people send. Sweep us into costly service, there with Christ to bear the cross. There with Christ to bear the cross. God of blazing, God of burning, all that blocks your purpose purge. Through your church, Christ's living body, let your flaming spirit surge. Where deceit conceals injustice, kindle us to speak your truth. Kindle us to speak your truth. God of blazing, God of burning. Fire is one of the symbols of Pentecost, but fire has taken on a different meaning for one Lutheran congregation this week, Holy Trinity in South Minneapolis. Friday morning, I was checking in on my Facebook page and I came across a Facebook Live video taken a few hours earlier by Pastor Ingrid Rasmussen. She is a pastor at Holy Trinity, and she walked around her Minneapolis neighborhood with her iPhone, sharing with us what she saw there. She pointed out businesses burned with windows broken and looted, in some cases talking about knowing and doing business with the families who owned them. She pointed out tagging of vandalism on the church and affordable housing apartments the church built and helps to maintain. At the end, Pastor Ingrid looked into her phone and she wept. She wept for her neighbors in the place where she lives and does ministry. She wept because she was exhausted from welcoming people looking for shelter into the church building throughout the night. She wept from witnessing and addressing this violence and pain while she herself is 8 months pregnant. Pastor Ingrid had written about the congregation's action in the neighborhood on their Facebook page and shared in a Facebook group. May 27th was an eventful evening. In cooperation with Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, we opened the building to serve as a medic station and immediately began serving people with a variety of injuries, most of them tear gas related. When we received the call late last night about attending to our neighbors' most basic needs, church leaders did not have time to sketch out all of the scenarios, and we didn't have the information necessary to do a thorough cost-benefit analysis. What we had instead were our neighbors standing right in front of us and asking us for help. Turns out that Jesus rarely said, "Thanks so much for asking for healing. Can I get back to you with an answer in a couple of weeks after our next committee meeting?" Today, I met new neighbors, watched donations stream in, witnessed strangers care for each other, observed the resiliency of Holy Trinity's staff and volunteers, and felt the Spirit piecing our fragments together into something called beloved community. And I was reminded that if we had needed to know the ending before beginning, we would have missed out on the great beauty that arises even in the face of brutal violence. This Sunday is Pentecost, the day of the church year when we celebrate the Spirit's presence in and among us. As helicopters circle above me, I'm leaning into the promise of an advocate who offers comfort, inspires creativity, cultivates strength, and beckons us. Always, always, always beckons us closer to God's vision for the world. George Floyd and Eric Garner and Philando Castile and Tamir Rice and Michael Brown and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and Emmett Till and Reverend Clementa Pinckney. Names we know, names we speak in memory and in resistance and protest. These are all people whose names we know because they were killed because they were Black. We could also list the names of Native American women who have disappeared and been murdered in recent years with little follow-up. We say this has to stop, but it continues on and on. The systemic racism that limits the lives and dreams and opportunities of people of color every day and sometimes erupts into the most horrific violence. It's not new. What is new is that we see it when these acts are recorded and brought into our homes and our attention by social media. And as a white woman speaking to an almost entirely white congregation, we have work to do, my friends. Hard, gut-wrenching, soul-searching work. It's not enough to not be overly racist. It's the silent, covert, acceptable expressions of racism that we have to learn to recognize and then to stop. I confess to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have been thinking this week about moments in the recent past when I have heard a racist comment and let it go by, afraid to rock the boat. We need to listen to the stories of our brothers and sisters of color, to listen with our hearts and our minds and with a will to make a change. And we can't wait for them to show us how to fix it. We are the cause of the problem. We are the ones who benefit from the white structures of our society. And we are the ones who have to learn to see them and dismantle them. Because our Black siblings can't breathe. Our Native American siblings can't breathe. Our Latino siblings can't breathe. In a week like this, hope can be hard to find, but I am not without hope. And I feel like it is my job to bring that hope as well as the reality of our sin into this place. I am not without hope for our church and our country because there are churches like Holy Trinity in South Minneapolis responding with what is needed. Because people still manage to respond to trauma and violence with grace and compassion and generosity. In the midst of all the outrage and grief expressed this past week, I also came across this Facebook post by a friend of mine in Minneapolis. A housing program on East Lake Street in Minneapolis was asking for food donations since area grocery stores are closed. Our family brought groceries and look at the turnout. Yes, we saw the police line a block away, and we also witnessed a community giving what they could and taking less than what they needed. People of all ages and races walking in from all directions to deliver groceries. Neighbors taking just a few necessary items to save for others, no hoarding. Teenagers with brooms and dustpans cleaning the sidewalks. I don't know how much the helping, unity, and sense of community will be seen on the news, but it was beautiful to witness. Stories like this one give me hope, and I have hope because of who God is for us. God is the Holy Spirit who came on that first Pentecost to those frightened, bereft, and hesitant disciples as they gathered in prayer. God's Spirit came to fill them with enough love and faith and courage that they could step out of that room and tell the story of Jesus in the streets. Now there were Jews gathered in Jerusalem that day from many nations. You'll notice that when the story does not tell us that all of the foreigners who were there that day suddenly understood the apostles who were speaking in Aramaic, but that suddenly the apostles were speaking in all of their variety of languages. God's Spirit didn't act that day to make them all alike, to create community by erasing their differences of language and culture and perhaps skin color too. God used those first evangelists to meet the people where they were and to speak their own language. As the book of Acts continues, the Holy Spirit continues this action of drawing Peter and Paul and the other apostles to welcome a wider and wider audience. Paul physically traveled to many places, and when he arrived, he met the people where they were at, rich or poor, male or female, Greek or Jew or something else. Different languages and races and classes shared in the fellowship of Jesus. I have hope for our world because I believe in and have given my life to this God. This Spirit, this Holy Spirit who could work with this ragtag group of apostles and spread the news of Jesus far and wide. I have hope that the Holy Spirit can work with us too, my friends. In all our blindness and good intentions and deep faith, the Holy Spirit can give us enough love and courage that we can get out of our own way and truly be the church for all people, a church that not only welcomes all, but seeks justice and dignity for all. God of passion, God unsleeping, stir in us love's restlessness. Where the people cry in anguish, may we share your heart's distress. Rouse us from content with evil. Claim us for your kingdom's work. Claim us for your kingdom's work.